You know, I've heard a lot of stories about churches. I didn't grow up in the chatch. I've learned a lot about chatch, but I haven't had to experience chatch, right? I was raised in a very quiet, reserved Lutheran church. And there was a lot of, it was a huge sense of community. That was one of the main things that really drew me to this house, is that love, that family, that community. I could say now over 15 years, you all have been my family, truly. And I don't know how many of you know this, but the main reason when I graduated from college in New York, the main reason why I stayed here and felt comfortable to live on my own is you. It was JCMI. It was really the only reason. Because if I didn't have you, I would have been back home in Connecticut with the family that I'd known. So I'm very grateful to be here. Would you mind turning me up a little bit? Am I loud? Okay, never mind. I'm probably just so used to like the monitors and everything. So, amen. So, Pastor asked me if I wanted to share about the revelation I've been getting around covenant. And I've got a bunch of notes, but I'm just going to let God have his way. Amen. Amen. And usually God having his way with me isn't a super long message. So let's just jump right in. So, Sherry, thank you so much for sharing. You definitely were appointed by God to share this morning, because you spoke about the thing that I actually wanted to lead with. And this was when you were talking about perfection and how we shouldn't wait until we believe in our eyes that we're perfect in our gifts to do something, to launch, to step out, because it would never happen. We got to move forward with what's in us. And so one of the things I've been learning about covenant, this partnership that I have with the Lord, that's how I see it. It truly is. It's a two-way thing. One of the main things that I've been learning over these past few months is the enemy wants us to be focused on us, our issues, our inadequacies, our weaknesses, our insecurities. It's us. But God, the Lord, wants us to be focused on him and what he's called us to. And in every calling, there is a covenant within the covenant of being a blessing to other people. And as we seek and strive to bless others and to be used by God to meet their needs, God meets our needs. And that includes in our calling and our destiny. And one of the things that God was showing me as an encouragement is, you, Mr. James, you, Sherry, you, Buddy, you, Pastor, you, Rachel, all of us have something that other people need right now. We don't have something that's in an incubator that hasn't hatched yet. It's in us already. The level that we've achieved, we may not see it as our version of success, because God has called us to such great things, especially in this house. We know that what we're called to is great. Well, right now what we have, somebody needs. And it's not some random person that's so far away. It's somebody in your circle right now. There is a kingdom. There is a family. There is a unit of people who need you, the way you are, the way you respond, the way you speak, the way you think, even the way you laugh. They need you. And it's in you, and you have it already. Okay, and so I want to encourage us, when we feel those times where we want to focus on us, and how we feel as though we lack or insecurities or weaknesses, shut it down, especially at this season. God is able to answer us in our time of need as we focus on him and what he's called us to. We don't have to take a break and say, okay, let me focus on me right now, because what about me? Okay, I'm speaking from experience. Amen? Do you agree with that? Okay, good. That's so important. I have to remember, when I do share a message, I have a chance to go like, a tendency to go like all the way down. So I got to try and stay close and stick to these notes. So keeping in mind every day, we have a choice. It's life or death. And life or death is going to be presented to us every day. We are created to choose life, to be drawn and attracted to life, good, godly decisions that will impact people positively. And if we walk around with that mindset and that expectation, we will soar in this covenant season. Amen? Okay, good. So I was speaking with Pastor about, as I do when we speak during the week, a lot of times the conversation will go business, and then it'll be pastor mode, and then it'll be papa mode, and then it'll be Mr. Brown. And I know that I'm honored and I'm blessed to have that opportunity. So throughout the week, one of the scriptures that came up was the story of Elijah and Elisha. Just a quick show of hands. Is anyone familiar with that story? Yeah? Okay. And it's okay if you're not. We're going to go through it, and it's not super long. All right. So by the end of the day, my hope is that you will be familiar. And so during the time of Elijah, who was a prophet, the prophets at that time were called to proclaim judgment and deliverance. Every prophet in the Bible has that responsibility. But this time, the proclamations were rooted in covenant. So as opposed to other times where there are prophets who would say, this is going to happen historically based off of this, X is going to happen. This proclamation that God had given to Elijah was, Israel, you're breaking covenant. And as a result, stuff is going to go down. Things are going to be jacked up. And so that was the burden on his heart and his spirit was to proclaim, Israel, here is what's to come and here's why. And we know anytime that God will warn us or show us of a judgment, right? Let me speak for myself. How about that? I call myself now Lindsay 2.0 because over the past 2 years, I had exalted myself and been significantly humbled to the point where I had nothing. A year ago today, I was just thinking about this. I was on food stamps and the rest of the welfare system. I was extremely prideful and was humbled. And during the time of lack, and it was lack because I was out of covenant with God and I was out of covenant in terms of what my responsibilities and roles were. A year ago, I had thoughts of suicide. I remember sharing that with you guys. And so much has changed, praise God. So now I say that's Lindsay 1.0 and now we have 2.0. And the whole point of me sharing this again is, there was plenty of time for me to repent and to deal with my own issues and inadequacies in the quiet of my house with the Lord, and I refused to. Now, I'm not beating myself up. I'm just keeping it real because my life is so tremendously different and blessed now. I can look back and say, yeah, no, we're not going back there. We're not going back to whatever caused that. So over the years, God would give me opportunity to repent, to get counsel, to just humble myself and say, yo, I'm a mess inside, God. But for whatever reasons, I chose not to. And I could talk about those reasons on and on, but there were enough where I chose not to. And so judgment came. And for me, judgment was me being humbled and having someone come into my life that pointed out all my insecurities in front of everybody I knew and loved. And so my process was a public one, but it didn't have to be. It didn't have to be. Have you guys ever been there? You don't have to raise your hands. You can just amen inside. I'm not going to put you on the spot, okay? So now we've got Lindsay 2.0 where I'm declaring, even by speaking that is the former person. Old things have passed away, like far away. Amen? So the whole point of me, again, going back to where Elijah was, covenant. His job was to let Israel know, y'all are breaking covenant and things are about to go down. Everyone has an opportunity to repent when God warns of any kind of pending judgment or correction. And God gives us that opportunity so we can deal with it with him. That's covenant. That's relationship. He wants to talk to us in the cool of the day. He wants to speak to us at night. He wants to remind us of how much he loves us so that we can be free and healed in that quiet time with him. Okay, so if there's a need that you have or a challenge that you have in your life, just go. Be free to go to God and say, God, before this goes any further, I'm laying it all before you right now. I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel. There are so many scriptures where God calls to us to be real with him, not super churchy or what we think he wants us to hear, but just exactly where we are so he can come in and deal with us and heal us. Amen? Okay, good. So if you could do me a favor and turn with me to I got to go to my iPhone. Sorry. It's a scripture in the Bible. Yeah, I've got the Bible app. I prepared all my notes, but then I didn't retain this particular scripture. So, just bear with me here. First Kings 19. And give me a good amen when you get there, paper or electronic. Amen. Y'all got there before me, so I'm going to give you an amen in a minute. I'm going to give you an amen in just a quick minute. Okay, amen. Okay, so quick backstory. Elijah was this great man of God, and he proclaimed all this stuff. And then Jezebel, we all know the story about Jezebel. Oh, I'm sorry, you want a verse, right? 1 Kings 19:7. So Jezebel threatened to kill him because of a prophecy that he made. And so Elijah got really scared and he ran away. Elijah. Okay. So he got really scared and he ran away. And he ran to this cave. And he was seeking God and saying, God, just take my life now. I'm not any better than anybody else. Just take me. And that was because he was afraid Jezebel threatened to kill him, so he was scared. And so we're going to go to verse 9. No problem. So 1 Kings 19:9. And the word says, there he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah replied, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life. Take it away. And he said, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. So just to kind of paint a picture, imagine you're Elijah. You're living in a cave. There's no Wi-Fi. There's no bedding. There's no electricity. You're just in a cave, and you want God to take your life because you feel at any point you look over your shoulder, there's Jezebel going to be with her people to hunt you down. Okay? So the word continues to say, and behold, the Lord passed by. Somebody said, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of gentle stillness and a still, small voice. Now, right, that makes you say, okay, so all that, and there was a still, small voice, and that was God. Now, for anybody who knows me more than a couple months, you know I'm a weather geek. And so I just love everything about weather. And over the past few years, the desire of this hobby has grown more and more. And as I was reading this scripture, one of the things that really spoke to me this time is, okay, we've had a lot of earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, and fires all year, right? We live in a very kind of real-time world, so we could see it immediately, or we could definitely see the aftermath, and then we pray, and then something else happens again, and then we pray. And so if you think of the magnitude of this dude in a cave and there's an earthquake, how did the cave stay up? This dude is in a windstorm that's so strong that the rocks crack. That's a pretty strong wind. Tornadoes don't even really crack rocks, okay? So I can only imagine. And then there's a fire. I don't know what kind of fire it was, but I'm sure it was an intense one if there was an earthquake and everything else. And all that, and then the still, small voice was the voice of God. Now, that to me spoke covenant. Strong covenant. Because I know that I've been in places where if I feel as though I'm unsettled, if the loudest thing gets my attention, I'll go towards that. If the strongest thing or the most furious thing gets my attention, I'll go towards that. If a pastor always said I used to always focus on shiny things. Ooh, a shiny thing. Let's do that. Ooh, let's do that. And not be able to stay focused. And so as the word was seeping into my spirit for today, it was very clear. That gentle, small, still voice is with us everywhere we go. Okay? We are in this world and not of it. So our job as part of our covenant and partnership with the Lord is to be able to hear and heed to that still, small, quiet voice, no matter where we are or who we're around. Okay, because I'm sure some of y'all got tornadoes and earthquakes in your family members. What you going to do? I know I have. I know I've been around wildfires and all kinds of weather disasters and people. And there are times where I've been able to stay firm, and then they've been able to follow suit. And then there are times where I just went with them and lost my mind. And then nobody had a sound mind to make a decision. Okay, so part of our partnership with the Father is to be able to have that still small voice that we can tap into at any point, no matter what's going on. Yes, glory, hallelujah. God is so faithful to us, okay? And so that was the voice of the Lord. And so the rest of the story, and we won't read into this part, but after that, that still small voice, God spoke to Elijah. And he said to him, here's exactly what's going to happen, and I have your successor in place. Don't you worry about a thing. All those people are going to die. And whoever doesn't die before you die, your successor's going to kill them, so you're good. Okay? And so that instruction was clear and very specific. And in covenant with God, I've spoken with so many Christians who want to hear God more. That is part of the covenant. That promise is there. But we got to be able to be in his word and learn how to hear that voice at all times so that we can operate in it confidently. Amen? Okay, good. So I want you to go with me to 2 Kings. And we're going to go to, we're going to go to 2 Kings 2, verse 2. 2 Kings 2, verse 2, and let me know when you're there. Thank you. So, long story short, Elijah came first, then Elisha came second. Elisha was his successor. And Elisha was called by God to take over Elijah's responsibility as the prophet for Israel at that time, the lead prophet. So there were hundreds of prophets, but he was like at the top. And so the story of Elijah and Elisha is very short. There's not a lot of interaction. And if you read through it, and I encourage you to do so, Elijah's kind of like, yeah, Elijah, I know God called you. Do what you want, you know. And so the verse 2 says, and it came about when the Lord was about to take up Elijah to heaven, that Elijah went to Elisha from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives. Somebody say, as the Lord lives. See, that's covenant right now, right there. He's so confident in what he's declaring that he's saying it. Even God, as you live and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Then the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel, these are the extra prophets, came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? And he said, yes, I know. Be still. So one of the things I had in my, I have this study Bible that is literally falling apart. The seams are almost all gone, and it looks like someone came and took chunks out of some of the pages, but I just refused to let that sucker go. I love that Bible. And one of the things I had written on it was, in the scripture it says, yes, I know, be still. If you want the anointing, you have to be still. You got to be able to be still to receive. And in looking up that definition of being still, it means being inactive, being calm, and refraining. Now, I have had a history of not doing that in certain circumstances and have learned how to be still in a way to receive from God. And those quiet moments can make a world of a difference because it changes not only your perspective, but your expectation. And so Elisha, I'm going to fast forward throughout the rest of the story. Elisha ends up getting a double portion of the anointing that Elijah had. And Elisha goes on and does some really awesome things for God. I mean, really, really amazing things. He wipes out a bunch of people who are against God. He sets stuff up. He does some really awesome stuff. And so when Elisha make that decision not to leave his covering and to stay with him till the end, God honored that. Where he said, as surely as the Lord lives, God honored that covenant and that commitment and blessed him doublefold. Amen. So in terms of the still quiet voice, I want to go back to that because I don't know how you guys feel. But sometimes if I'm around people who are doing amazing and great things, I'll just, you know, I'll go towards that. Well, how's my life going? What's going on in me? Does anyone ever do that, or is it just me? A couple people? Okay. All right, so I'm still going to speak for me then in that case, and for those of you who raise your hands. So what I'm learning in this covenant is how to be completely and wholly defined with God and who I am with me and him in this partnership. God has already laid out my responsibilities. He's already done his part, and he continues to move and support his promise. But I'm already defined in him. And as a woman of God, I'm 37 now, I have expectations that I have yet to see come to pass. There are certain areas in my life where I know God has said great things, and I'm still believing and walking that out. Okay? I'm going to tell myself a little bit. Sherry, you brought it up once again. It has been 10 years since I've recorded an album. 10 years. Wow, right? 10 years. That was 10 years and several pounds ago, but it's been 10 years. Now, it wasn't supposed to have been 10 years. For those of you who don't know, I recorded and released a couple albums. And, you could talk about the story, ask Pastor about it. He's a great storyteller, as we know. It had been 10 years. I gave up. I walked away. I lost heart. And I just, step by step, began to shut that desire in me down. It never died, thank God, but it went from a roaring fire to, at times, a flickering flame. And those times, those years of walking away and not feeling whole in that area where I knew God had called me to were very, very tough at times. And so it brought a lot of extra stuff that was just unnecessary. Why do I share that now? Because I've started to sing and to record again, right? Yes, God is so awesome. And it didn't have to be 10 years, but here's where I am. And maybe you guys can believe and expect with me for you. If you've taken a break from something, if you've walked away and you decide to go back in, God has this amazing ability to restore things so quickly. It's like you never lost a beat when you commit to him. And that's a covenant there, because I'm going to my Father in my partnership saying, God, I believe you again. And I have years of doubt and regret that I got to overcome in here, really. But I just want to let you know I believe you again. Can we do this? And so, you know, sometimes it could be easy to believe God for things that you haven't messed up. But if you put your hands on it, then there's a couple extra steps for being able to walk in freedom to do what God has called you to do in confidence. Because you're looking at what you've done, and God, how could you bless that? How could you restore that? But he does. He's faithful to his promises, and he most certainly does. When we say, just like Elisha did, as the Lord lives, this will happen. And so I'm in that place now with a lot of things that God, as you live, this is still going to happen. This is still going to be great. This is still going to be something that you can do amazing things with. And even for those years that I thought I missed, you will restore as if there was never a beat missed. Does that relate to any of you? You got some things that maybe it may not have been 10 years. I don't know. But a few years or a few months. Yeah, maybe longer. Hey, listen, if I can, and I've said this for a long time now, God, if I'm an example of what not to do, I also want to be an example of what to do. Amen. So please don't stop here. Amen. So the last thing I'll say, just wrapping up, is the covenant with God that we have is very specific. And Mr. James, you really blessed me last week, and I won't go into too much detail, but you shared about you being here. Every week was covenant for you because you're here. Wind, snow, sleet, you just flew in this morning, right? You're here. And that's covenant. And that so spoke. And so I went to God and I said, well, God, what is our covenant? What do we got going here? Because a lot of times we just do stuff and we exist and we serve and we're joyful and we're happy. But without that purpose of covenant or knowing what our partnership agreement is, then what are we expecting? All of us are blessed. God has done amazing things with us. I want to be kind of like that Elisha, where God can come and say, this is exactly what's going to happen. These are another number of people I've reserved to do X and this and this and that. Let's go. And just say, okay, God, let's do this. And I believe for that. Amen. So as I was searching out, well, God, what is, what, help me put a name on all this stuff, right? The first thing that came to my spirit was, you believe. I said, okay, well, what does that mean? I didn't quite understand. And God started to walk me through some personal stuff. And then it came to this house, to JCMI. And what God showed me is that this is a covenant. We all have a covenant with God and with each other for this house. We believe that this house is special, it is unique, it is valuable, it is treasured by God. We believe that when we come in here, even in worship time, that we will hear him and he'll give us something we need to carry us on throughout the week and to give us direction and instruction. Amen? We're in agreement there? That's why we're here, right? And so as God began to speak that to me, he reminded me of one of the promises of this house is this is a training ground for leaders. And so I come every week expecting and knowing that I am fellowshipping and worshiping with the future Joyce Myers, with the future Kenneth Copeland, with the future Grammy, Tony, and all other award winners. I expect that. I know it and I believe it. So when I have a relationship with anyone here and I embark on that, it's from that platform. That's covenant. Amen? Amen. Yeah, no, that's a good place for an amen. And so I'm very grateful for this time of covenant. I'm grateful for the things that God is revealing and speaking and showing. And I just want to encourage you guys, just like God told Abraham to go, to just pack up everything and leave everything he knew that was comfortable, I believe we are a house that is called to go when God says go, and to be okay in the unknown, and to be okay in the uncomfortable, so that God can put us in a place where we can lead those who may not have the faith and the strength to step out the way they're supposed to. Amen? And so for me, the covenant of this word and the preparation that we get in this house is securing us for our future, so that as if you imagine the JCMI is like a strong tree, right? And we are the branches. At some point, those branches will grow and become food for other people, for other nations, for other Christians, for other churches, for other organizations. And so my covenant with God here is huge. It's so important. That's why I'm so grateful for pastor taking the time to almost hand feed us what covenant means to us, so that I can walk in confidence and a specific knowing every day of why I do what I do. Amen? And so that's my prayer for you guys. So I just want to end with a scripture. And this is a pretty powerful one. And you don't have to turn. It's Romans 8, 30. I'm sorry. It's Romans 8, 28. And the word says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. We have to believe that in order for that to be effective. Amen? And purposeful. And verse 29 says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he predestined, us, he also called, us. And these whom he called, us, he also justified, us. And these whom he justified, us, he also glorified. Now, if you think about this from a covenant perspective, all of that is on God. Straight up. Y'all, we don't have to pre-qualify, pre-justify. We don't have to exalt ourselves and brag and boast in our... Nope. Our requirement, one, is to know that God causes all things to work together for good. To love God. And the Bible says the way we love God is to obey his commandments. That's how you know if someone loves God or not. Amen? And if you look at the rest of the covenant... being predestined, called, chosen, selected, handpicked, I'm good with that. That's God's part of the covenant. And so when you think about who are you and what is your specific covenant, it's got to be rooted and grounded in, I believe you, God. I believe your words. I believe what you say is true. And I'm willing to believe you for a group of people who may not believe you yet. Give me the amount of faith to help to lead them in to believe you, God. I'm willing. Amen? So that was Romans 8, 28 and 29. Amen. And then Romans 8:35 just says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? And you could continue to read all of the things that won't. So it goes back to the beginning. If you feel that temptation or that need to focus on you, you can shut it down by the word of your testimony and by what the word says. And you can focus on God and what he's called you to be a blessing. And during that time, in that covenant, he will renew, restore, redeem, and reacquaint you with everything that he's called you to and remove you from everything that is just not yours to tend to. Amen? Can we believe for that in this season of covenant? Amen. So praise God. Thank you. Amen.